Live from the ESPN FM 101.5 and 1480 AM studios, this is the Gregeth and Hooks Show. Call the show 402-466-3776. Your teams, your town, your show. Here are your hosts, Nick Gregeth and Bill Hooks.
Welcome back into Gregeth and Hooks on Lincoln Sports Authority, ESPN FM 101.5, 1480. Bill, I got a question for you. It's a tweet that was put out by Will Brinson, and he is tugging at two sides of the Bill Hooks' heart. I would argue these, besides your family, and of course myself, these are the next two largest chunks of your heart. Especially because right now you have nothing in there for Willie J. Because you guys,
we're back. We're good.
I don't know.
We're all good, man.
Willie J keeps looking at you, and he keeps flipping you a stink eye.
Whatever. I'm not doing that, Hooks. Don't take Nick's word for it.
I can't wait for you two to go toe-to-toe in golf.
Could you imagine just the instigator of the heat place when he was a little dude?
Oh, no. No.
Just instigating stuff.
Instigating what?
I did not.
No, I fought people all the time. I was in trouble all the time. I was like Captain Principal's office.
Oh, you want to fight? Let's go.
No. Yeah, no, 100% I was in. Because I was smaller than everyone.
Hooks, I never got in a fight out of my grade school career.
Did not either.
Oh, yeah.
Nope. Didn't happen.
I punched a teacher once.
No, you did not.
I did, too. It was on accident.
Well, I don't
I tried to deck this kid. I was, like, in, like, sixth grade. I took a swing at this kid, and the teacher, right as I'm swinging, jumps between us. And I clocked her one.
It was a her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh. We called her. Her nickname was Mega Mouth because she had a megaphone. And she'd walk up to you and get, this is at Carriage Hill up in Omaha. She'd get within 2 inches from your face and put this megaphone up and be like, and just yell at you. And, I clocked her.
We're going to have to. Really, Jay, you might be on the election card now because we have a problem.
Why? No.
Fight. We're going to have to, like, revamp this.
I'm a fighter,
sweet
man.
I'm in.
This is politics. I can just tell everybody that I'm a, what was it that Palin always ran under? She's a maverick. I'm a maverick.
Oh, is that how we're
doing? I'm a maverick.
I mean, hey, it happened in middle school, so you're good.
No, it's not even middle school. Well, In Papillion, sixth grade is still elementary school.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. The schooling between Omaha and Lincoln is so different. People don't realize. Like, junior high was 7th, 8th, and 9th.
That's how I grew up in North Carolina.
Up in Omaha. So ninth grade's not in high school.
That's how my
You played was. Sports with the high schoolers, but you went to school down in the junior high. Yeah. I still played. Like, I played football on the football team as a freshman.
No, ours was, like I said, K through 6, 7 through 9,
had
and then 10th grade you went
that,
up.
Though.
And then 10th grade you went up.
There's some dude, in schools. I forget what state, but he's a 4th grader and he's playing on the varsity golf team.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Hooks' kid's trending.
It's called a prodigy.
Your kid's turning in that way, isn't he?
I don't know. He likes it. He likes to play a lot.
Yeah. Question, speaking of golf, Will Brinson tweets this out.
Bet.
Really? Tell me how you feel. Really bizarre. PGA Tour wouldn't ask players. You listening? Mm-hmm. Really bizarre. PGA Tour would not ask players to self-report injuries before tournaments, given the prominence of daily fantasy games and the growth of gambling on the sport. But you're required to report a penalty against yourself and turn yourself in if you do something wrong while you're golfing.
I believe in that world, which I've heard, is that if there is an injury per se, like if you, like it just happened, like if you were to, not me, if you were to happen to like make a tournament bet on where somebody's going to place or if they're going to play against someone and they withdraw, that bet is taken off the board. Just happened. Jason Day just withdrew like 6 holes in, citing a back injury.
Paul Daly tweets the show and says, please, are you saying that Brady would have starred on any other NFL team? He would have been average without Bill Belichick. Thoughts?
I don't know.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't know.
I disagree. He's still that good.
I wonder, just if we had an example of Bill Belichick as a head coach previous to having Tom Brady on there, and we could look and see how he did as a head coach before Brady got there. I wish that was, wait a minute, he got fired from a job in Cleveland. That's right.
He did.
Forgot about that.
He gone.
So we do have an example.
We do have one. He was
fired. Bill Belichick.
Yep. Fired.
Fired. He Bill gone. Belichick's the best coach of all time.
No doubt.
And he also, again, this is why when I say in order to be the GOAT, it takes a certain level of luck. Because Brady and Belichick getting together on the same team is the perfect marriage. Like, the perfect marriage. Because Brady, for the longest time, has been, even though he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, paid at like 11 or 12, because he's got his hot supermodel making $50 million a year wife. I'm sure they pay him underneath the table on the side. And I've never seen a coach like the Hoodie take just random, and he's done it his entire time in New England, he's taken random players and just coached them up and schemed them
up.
Made
them look so good.
Into, oh my God.
All pros.
It's kind of like Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson. I don't know. Like, Phil Jackson obviously went on to win a bunch of championships, you know, with Kobe and Shaq and those guys, and then Gasol and Kobe. So, like, obviously Phil Jackson's a really good coach. One of the knocks that he's always going to have is that he had all these great superstars.
Or is he the greatest of...
I mean, Michael Jordan had a coach before him.
Or is he the greatest
he
of...
He didn't take him anywhere.
Or is he the greatest of taking care and massaging personalities?
That's part of it, and I think he had to be that guy. But Michael Jordan had a coach before that.
Or is Tex Winter the inventor
of
the...
Was it Doug Collins? Is that who it was?
Or is it Tex Winter, the triangle offense that brought it to the Kobe days?
Listen, man. I'm telling you right now.
I'm just saying. I think Phil's good.
Yes.
I think he had a lot of personalities. Uh-huh. I think he managed that really well.
I think he did. And I think that there probably isn't very many coaches that could have been the head coach of the three different teams that won multiple championships that he coached. I don't think there's very many guys that could have coached those teams. Because you can ask him. There was guys before him on those teams that got canned with the same players.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough deal. But no, the Hoodie, I've never seen
nothing
what
like
he
it.
Does. And his. It's crazy, too, is like all of his coaches go on to be bad coaches when they go to be head coaches. You know what I mean? Like, like it's him. You know, he's got good guys who know how to do their jobs under him, and he does not really care about teaching. Like Andy Reid,
I think
the greatest thing Andy Reid's ever done is he teaches his coaches to be head coaches and treats them like that. And they
really
go
don't
on to
do
be,
that.
But that doesn't get you championships.
Yeah, give me one that's been successful on the way out.
Well, what do you mean?
Like after they left the Hoodie.
Oh, God, nobody, right?
Like Josh McDaniels went somewhere, right? Was he under the Hoodie first?
Who was it? Romeo Crennel was no good as a head coach.
Charlie Weiss was
no good. Made a lot of money, though.
Nowhere.
He went nowhere. That actually shows you how great Brady is,
by the way. Patricia's at Detroit right now.
Stinks.
Probably not going anywhere. You got Flores just left for Miami.
Dolphins. He's start looking for a new coach.
I mean.
There's none of them.
Josh McDaniels there first, or was he somewhere else?
Then he went to Denver.
Yep,
failed.
Gone, bad. Yeah.
Although his draft history was actually pretty good. Outside of Tim Tebow. His draft history, like he's the one who went and got... a lot of their superstars that they had for a while on those teams. He did a nice job drafting.
Is he the better quarterback they've had in recent history, though?
Who's that?
Tebow at Denver. Just throwing it out
not
there.
Peyton Manning.
Oh, Peyton. Getting him, but like in between there, like he's...
So, like Elway, Manning, and then you've got Greasy, Cutler. Cutler's
Tebow.
Better than Tebow.
Now you get Flacco. Behind Keenum.
Flacco's got an MVP, baby. So are you in on the gambling thing side of that? Like, should they have to start reporting? MJ wasn't winning championships till Phil got there, from Aaron.
Sure, I'll be in for it. Because any knowledge you can get before placing a wager, you want all the knowledge.
Bill Belichick wasn't. Here's a tweet coming in. Guy with a Cleveland hat. So I'm going to give him, and his name's Nick, so he knows what he's talking about. He says, Bill Belichick wasn't fired by Cleveland. He was fired after the 95 season after Art Modell moved the Browns to Baltimore.
Okay.
He was fired.
Thanks, Nick.
There you go. So he got fired by that franchise. It just had moved.
He didn't want to move to Baltimore. Who can blame him?
Mm-hmm. He says, we do have an example of Belichick without Brady. Oh, yeah. When Belichick coached up Matt Cassel, got 11 years. Matt Cassel went down to Kansas City and had a couple good years, too. Hoodie, man. They're both great. I hate them.
I hate
the Patriots. Oh, God.
How'd that feel? How'd that feel?
What's trending at 10?
Stick it to yourself.
Good to have you with us again.
You're tuned in to another episode of What's Trending. It started with a
whisper. I'm sorry. What the heck are you talking about?
Time for Now Trending.
How do you trend?
What you talking about, huh?
What the bloody hell are you two talking about?
Red Sox pitcher Steven Wright has been suspended 80 games for failed PED test.
Whoops.
I'm just curious, man. Do these people not know, like, what kind of substance they're taking? Do they
That's
not
what they
know?
Claim.
It's just doesn't make sense to me how they don't know they're breaking the rules.
I think dudes like that act like that, who am I, what am I going to do, they're never going to test me kind of guy.
Yeah, rules don't apply.
Yeah. Well, not even that. It's like I'm like this no-name whatever guy. Like, I'm just down here, like, I'm going to try it. And then all of a sudden they get their name called. It's like, oh, all of a sudden I didn't know I was taking it. No one good and well ever take it.
Yeah, it's foolish. You should, like, in this day and age, either A, you should be taking stuff that won't get you caught, or B, you should know better. So there's no excuses.
I hear you. So Ndamukong Suh is a free agent this year. CBS Sports put out an article putting out some places where they think he should end up, and I'm just going to run through these. Tell me what you think.
All right, let's go.
Cleveland Browns.
I'd love it.
Yes.
Indianapolis Colts.
Nope.
No, I don't think that's it.
Don't care.
I don't like it.
They're saying that the Rams could re-sign him.
Okay, I'd be all right with that. I'm rooting for Sue to be in L.A. so he becomes this, like, keeps growing his brand and becomes a superstar and all that stuff.
Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh, nope, don't like it.
I don't like it.
Nope. He's from the area, though. That's where Washington
Oregon.
Is where he
grew
up. Like Oregon and Washington. So he's
The last team they got is the Tennessee Titans.
No, nobody
likes that team.
Do you think he's going to get paid quite a bit? I mean, $14 million, that's what L.A. paid him.
No, I think he'll get like a three-year deal. If I had to guess, he'll get something. He's going to find like a three-year deal with – he'll get maybe $14 million guaranteed, but I don't think he's going to get at that level again. I don't think, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
He's getting up there in age, man.
Right. So we talked about Jim Delaney yesterday, how he's going to be leaving as the Big Ten commissioner.
Yes.
CBS put out an article saying some things that the new commissioner could maybe change.
Okay.
And let me know what you guys think of these.
Good.
Number one, they think that they should kick out Rutgers and Maryland.
Oof.
What reasoning?
Yeah. What's
They say Delaney did a lot of wonderful things for the Big Ten, but he also made some mistakes. So with my first move, I will correct one of the biggest. Rutgers and Maryland were a money grab. They were brought in to help expand the Big Ten Network's footprint and increase revenue generated by the cable network. Their markets and the fact that they were willing to make the move were the primary factors in bringing them into the Big Ten.
Well, that's...
But that was Delaney's movement, though. Delaney was about TV money, and that was there were good moves.
Good moves. This guy's that's wrong. You should keep those teams.
Yeah.
Okay.
We want those televisions. That's that whoever wrote that is stupid.
Okay. Number two, he said he wants the divisions out.
So you just go no divisions. Nope. I'm selfish.
Like
I'm a Nebraska fan. Our side is like the Big 12 North. I think Nebraska now has Frost. We're going to dominate.
Okay.
Yep. I'm good with that.
Leave it.
Keep them there.
Yep.
Number three.
This guy's getting fired already.
Yeah, I hate this guy.
He wants to go back to an 8-game conference schedule.
Why? That's no.
I like nine.
It's
fine.
Harder.
No, it's harder.
I can't criticize the SEC for not having a 9-game schedule.
If we don't have one.
If we don't have
this guy's 0-3. He's
this guy. I would not vote for him for president.
And here's the fourth one. He says no more Big Ten basketball tournaments in New York.
Yes, he got that right.
Got that right.
I'd go to Chicago.
He missed one too.
Chicago.
He missed one too.
What?
I would absolutely do away with the Friday night games.
Yeah,
Friday night,
gotta
go. Friday night games are awful.
And then he should have said, I will add Texas and Oklahoma.
And there'll be no bike lanes in any Big Ten city.
No bike lanes allowed.
In any Big Ten city.
And you have to burn fossil fuels if you want to travel. That's, I like it. Yes.
In any state.
And you can drink.
In any road trip that we go on, it's double down.
Yeah, any Big Ten school has to allow alcohol on campus.
It was Tom Fornell who wrote that.
That guy's an idiot then.
He missed every
Don't
bit
like
of the campaign message.
Other than the New York thing.
Missed everything.
So there are still rumors out there that...
His wife probably hates him. Go ahead.
There are still rumors out there that Odell Beckham Jr. Is looking like could be traded.
That'd be great.
They're listening to
Kansas
talks.
City, hopefully.
There are three teams that are making, that are in the talks. Cleveland, Oakland, and San Francisco. Those are the three teams that are in talks.
And those are the same three teams probably talking for Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Although Cleveland wouldn't be in there because Pittsburgh wouldn't do that. But that doesn't – wow.
There are reports by you – just I was reading that. They're reportedly – the Raiders are reportedly shying away from the Brown trade right now.
I don't believe that for a second.
That's what it
did
says.
You see that?
The article.
Let me ask you guys a question real quick.
Okay.
There was a report out that – there's only two teams I can think of that this has to be about. It said that there's only one – they said there is one team that is basically bidding against itself to get Antonio Brown. Tell me that's not either the Raiders or Jacksonville.
That's the Raiders going to Raiders.
There is no way that there is
that's all day
that
Raiders.
That is either the Raiders or the Jags. They're the only two teams in the league.
1,000. No, 1,050. Yeah. No, 2,000.
2,000.
No, 4.
I'll give you our third, the lowest first-round pick we have, Steelers. Steelers like, well, let me think. And then the Raiders go, cut them off. And they're like, fine, we'll give you our fourth overall pick. And the Steelers like, well, I think, okay, fine, we'll give you two of our three first-round draft picks. For Antonio Brown, but I'm not going to. Fine, you can have our second round pick.
And all they did was stare at him.
Yeah, all they did was look at him and be like, are you sure?
Oh, no, we didn't do enough. Let's go.
So I got to ask you guys this. When you guys were young, where did you go to like rent DVDs?
Oh, Blockbuster, bro.
Yeah, baby. I sent this to you today.
Listen, there is nothing in this world greater than going on. I'm sad that you will never know this.
Oh, no.
Yes, one chance.
Oh, I was. No, when I was young, I went to Blockbuster all the time. That's where I'd get video games. I'd rent video games.
Well, let me describe this other action to you and tell me if you did this when you were young then.
Okay. Because
you're 20 now, right?
Right.
So my buddies and I, when we lived in this house together in college, and we would on a Friday night, we would drive over, and you would spend like an hour walking around Blockbuster picking out a movie, talking about all the different movies and stuff. Yeah. And it was like you'd see groups of like three or four people just looking around, looking at the movies, and like, oh man, I've seen that. No, this is awesome over here. Oh, I haven't seen this in forever. And you're like going through the movies. You'd be there for like an hour, pick up some beer, go home, and watch a bunch of movies. It was awesome.
That was
great. Awesome.
And you got everything. Popcorn, the candy,
yeah,
everything.
The whole nine yards.
And you had your card that was
legit.
A piece of paper and laminated.
Half the time, I'd be happy if I showed up and it wasn't available because then I'd get it for free when they come back in.
That's right. The laminated card.
Mm. So the reason I bring this up is there was two Blockbusters in the world.
Yeah.
One of them was in Oregon. One of them, Alaska?
Yeah, I think it was Alaska,
so
if I remember right.
So one of those actually closed.
No!
So there was only one left, and it's in Bend, Oregon. And it's pretty cool because they don't just sell movies and stuff. They also sell their own signature craft beer.
Nice. A Blockbuster craft beer.
Yeah, buddy.
So maybe someday we can make a road trip and head to Oregon and get some Blockbuster.
By the way, hate Redbox. Loved Blockbuster. Hate Redbox.
Yeah.
I refuse to do the Redbox thing because I feel like they're what got rid of Blockbuster.
You should do it. It's awesome.
So I hate them.
Nope. No. You should do them. They're awesome.
Why don't we just open a bunch of Blockbusters?
I don't even own a Blu-ray player other than my PlayStation.
You don't need to. They have both.
I refuse
they
to use both. It that way. I don't own a DVD player. Refuse.
They're awesome.
Anymore.
Redbox is awesome.
So mad.
They have an app. You can reserve them on your phone.
I heard about
go
this app. I heard. This sounds advanced.
Go pick them up and everything.
Not bad technology advanced old guy. You're no coward.
You're no coward.
You guys should fight.
Let's do it.
Oh, he's in.
Jeez.
Was that what's trending at 10?
That's all I got.
Dude, did you see I had one? I mentioned this. Remember Kevin Cosgrove?
Yeah, Kevin Cosgrove.
He had just recently got a new job. He is on the LSU defensive staff as a defensive analyst.
Really?
Moving up. Moving back up.
That is good. That'll be super good for him.
Kevin Cosgrove back in the news a little bit there.
Man, Blockbuster, dude. I miss Blockbuster.
Can I ask what's so
no?
What's the big deal about Cosgrove? Do we know him?
Oh man, he maybe brought him. He was when Callahan got here. Him and Callahan were buddies. Brought him in.
DC in the history of the world.
Nebraska of letting other teams score.
Yeah, he's the worst defensive coordinator in the history.
So bad. Go back and look up his stats. No his defensive. Way.
Although
stats.
He never gave up anything like what Bo Pelini did against Wisconsin. On the special,
but
on
it
the
was
ground.
Just the Oof. Consistency. Of
it was
those
consistency,
teams.
like Bo Pelini's lowest low was the worst moment in Nebraska history. Cosgrove was consistently just a hair below that every game.
Every game,
like, it was
every
dude.
Game.
I remember sitting in that Texas Tech game when the one that was here, and Texas Tech is blowing our doors off. I mean. Blow and it just you're just like
I was in
like
Lincoln.
You can't.
Oh, yeah.
Oh man.
Like you just couldn't quit watching. It was so bad.
Yeah.
How did the world not end like it did when Riley was here then? Right? How
well,
did
it was?
Oh, it did. Yeah, it was. No, it was. It was the Callahan era was rough, bro. But you, and here's the thing too. People, I know people listening will remember this, but they were so excited to get rid of Frank Solich. You know how now it's like people are cheer Frank and they're like, we should have had him back, all that stuff. Should have never got rid of him. So they fire Frank Solich. They bring in Bill Callahan. spring game. Imagine this. Spring game sells out. At the time, it was like 80,000 people.
No way.
Sells out because the stadium wasn't as big as it is now.
Okay.
Sells out. First play, they line up under center, and then they have multiple guys shift in motion, and that's all it was. And this crowd of 80,000 people celebrated like we won a national championship.
No way.
Oh, it was all day long. Because our offense was not the option offense anymore.
Oh, man, I remember.
Wow.
I'm telling you right now, I was at the university at the time when Solich's last 2 years here, people wanted him gone so bad. It was like, fire him and get to a real offense. The option's dead and all these things. Nowadays, you listen to people, they tell you that we should be running the wishbone and go back to that and all that stuff. I'm excited about what Frost is bringing to the table. But yeah, it was, man, people, I'm telling you, man, people were so excited. So excited. Yeah, the Corn Coast offense. Thanks, Snook.
That's what they
called
it.
That's what they used to call it. Instead of the West Coast, it was the Corn Coast.
The Corn Coast.
Oh, man, look up those. They were so bad. Oh.
Yeah. But we got Zach Taylor out of it.
We did.
And that, you know.
We could score 40 a game and get about 50 a game.
We got the great Dane Todd.
Right.
We did get the
DDT.
Yes.
See him tomorrow, hopefully. But yeah, it was the Callahan era was something to behold. That's for sure. Like, it was the weirdest thing. But at the end, like, which game was it that everybody walked out at halftime of?
Oh, I can't remember. It was, gosh.
Like, we emptied the stadium at halftime.
No way.
So it was bad.
Like protest.
Kind of like the Wisconsin game 2 years ago.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That happened again.
It was crazy.
It was.
And then, and when Bo got hired, I mean, it was really celebrated because Tom had come back. The biggest thing was Peterson getting fired was, like, such a big deal because Peterson, who was the athletic director at the time, that was when we got Little Red. I hated Little Red. That was when Herbie turned into a metrosexual man.
Yep.
And started grooming.
Things got weird.
He got muscular. He's not, you know, he's not like a fat farmer from Western Nebraska anymore.
Yeah.
Things got weird.
And that was when he started like grooming himself and looking like the brawny man and all that kind of stuff. But the and then Callahan like wanted to change everything. They all wanted to change everything to be like how they so that Nebraska is the new Nebraska, and it was obnoxious. It was crazy. By the end of that thing, like, but the deal was he had the number one recruiting class early on.
No way.
Oh yeah. His second recruiting class ever, number one in the and it could have been even better because he lost a few guys, a couple running backs that were good transferred out after maybe having to play safety, but none of the players, almost none of them panned out.
Wow.
But we had the number one recruiting class in the nation. People were fired up, dude.
I would be.
like how the Frost, you know how like this last year was so awesome with Frost and everybody was just fired up for
the
season and all
then.
That stuff. That's what it was then when Callahan got here.
Wow.
People don't remember that. Like it
nope.
Definitely.
Oh, that place is on fire.
Yes, it was.
No, fire.
It was. And Callahan.
Wow.
Callahan. Restore the order.
Let me ask you this. Between Riley, Pelini, and Callahan, I think Bo had the most success because he won the most games, and he was consistent with his 9 wins, right? He's never going to get more than that, whatever.
Yep.
If I think Callahan was – his tenure was much better than what Riley did.
Oh, my God.
But look, also the ceiling of what Callahan could have got to had he fired his DC.
Look, he was a DC away from being great here.
Yeah, he could have been here for a while. But his DC was so god awful bad,
Aaron
and we got blown out by a bazillion points.
A lot. I'll never forget. By the way, Aaron Nebraska, he thinks it was the Oklahoma State game.
That might have been it.
I'll never forget, buddy.
It was a while, but it was 15
my
years
moment because we still back then, even in those days, we would travel. We would travel to games still. I'll never forget the most down moment I think I had on a road trip was a Callahan game. We were at Kansas.
That was a racing season
and
too.
And we were like,
they
we hadn't lost
us.
To them in.
Forever.
It was 70-15,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, Todd Reesing. That was the year that they only lost one game and almost went to the national championship.
I remember walking up.
Them and Missouri. It was like the worst year ever.
Ever.
Because Kansas and Missouri, that was when Booger was there, Chase Daniel. That was when Booger was there picking his nose and eating at Memorial Stadium.
Ugh.
And also Reesing was at Kansas. And they were at one point, number 3 and 4 in the country.
No way.
Which was so gross. It was so
it was the first time they beat us
gross.
In so many years. What was the years?
Yes.
Dude, I remember we scored early in that game, and we were having this great time. It was like, we're going to play well.
Yeah.
I remember leaving that game.
Slaughtered.
They have this big hill you walk up.
Yeah.
And the crazy stuff I heard on the way up the hill about how we had turned into a different school. About, uh-huh. Like, they were just, again, they had never won anything, and they were letting us know.
I was at the Missouri game that year.
Awful.
When Missouri slaughtered us.
Awful.
It was their first time beating us. They slaughtered us at Mizzou. And those fans, like, that's where my hatred for Missouri has come from. Because at Missouri, the way their stadium is, you ever been down there? Way Mizzou is, if you picture all the parking, it's kind of rural around the stadium. All the parking is along roads that all go away from it, and it's like through a park. So when you walk, like, we had to walk about a mile to get to our car. Jeez. And it's dark. There's no lights.
No way.
Have you been there before?
No, but I've heard about that.
It's terrible. And you're walking through there, and they beat us. People were throwing rocks at us, all this stuff. My mom was with me. I about got arrested. I punched some people. I was so mad because they were throwing rocks at my mom. I caught one and drilled this dude in the face, and then his two buddies come running up. Me and my brothers are fighting. It was crazy. It was crazy. Crazy.
My Lord.
They're lucky I was not, that I had no alcohol in me at that time.
Oh, my God.
Honest, my mom. This is such I love this Husker history.
It's been, awesome.
If I'd have been on some moonshine at that moment, it'd have been
some moonshine.
I'd have been arrested for sure.
By the way, sorry, this just came out. So Robert Kraft, you know, obviously he's been going through his stuff.
Yeah,
he has an arraignment date on March 28th.
I heard his new nickname is Robert Rub and Tug Kraft.
So ironic that his people are putting out. It's funny because he's being arraigned on 3/28. That was the score that they were down in the Super Bowl against Atlanta. 3/28.
Wow, he's so petty. Kevin Jones at Husker Viking 16 tweets it. Listen to this. He said it was Okie State at home. He said the entire student section was chanting Fire Cosgrove, and at halftime they all walked out.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, dude. It was crazy back then.
It was toxic, man. I know.
Okay, so I agree it was toxic, but you have to remember, and we still have this fervor and this enthusiasm. You saw it during the end of Riley, you saw it at the end of Pelini, all that stuff. But, like, you have to also remember, we were just, like, 4 years removed from playing in a national championship game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people were just like, this is insane. Like, we were only, like, 8 years removed from seeing actual black shirt defense play.
This was 2007 is when Oklahoma, they beat us 45-14 in Nebraska. 45-14 in 2007.
Whew.
Kansas tried to put 100 on us.
Who was our quarterback
that
year?
For
2007,
Oklahoma State. Hold on, it was the dude that played.
Was it Brandon Wheaton then?
Yeah, it was Wheaton. Yep, he was baseball Wheaton's player.
Not for us. For Oklahoma State.
Who was our quarterback that year though?
2007. What was Callahan's first year? It wasn't Daly. Was Daly in the mix then? I can't remember when.
It might have been.
Was it Joe Daly?
Bravo. Well, Daly, yeah.
Well, he's there.
He was there, but the here you go. I got it right here. Golly, the scores of these games.
Oh, they'll blow your mind.
So, like, what people were going through. So they beat Nevada. We beat Nevada 52-10. Go to Wake Forest. And
Sam Keller?
With Sam Keller. We beat Wake Forest 20-17. Then we lose to number one USC in the most annoying, dumb game in the history of football games.
Yep.
It was 49-31, and we basically walked out there hoping and praying just to stay on the same field as them.
Was it
was pathetic. It was the same way as the year before where we had, remember we went to USC, I'm pretty sure we downed it most of the time.
Oh, yeah, was it?
And we were trying just to run out the clock. I know
they were so good.
Dan Todd was in these games. We can ask him when he comes tomorrow. But the thing that'll get you, so we then go beat Ball State.
Thanks.
41-40. But here is
41-40? Oh, that's where it goes. What?
So here's the Missouri game I was at. It was a night game, 41-6. We lose to Missouri.
Oh my God.
Then we lose to Oklahoma State, 45-14. Then we lose to Texas A&M. And mind you, Texas A&M and Oklahoma State are at home. Back then, Nebraska never lost at home. This was our third loss of the season.
At home.
Oh, my God.
You lose at number 16, Texas. It was 35-28. Was that I think that was the Jamal Charles game, wasn't it? where Jamal Charles ripped off 200
right.
yards
yeah,
in the fourth quarter.
Yes, I think you're right.
Jamal Holy Charles, we were beating these guys, and Jamal Charles ripped off like 220 yards in one quarter.
No way.
It was insane. I think that's when that draft was, or when that one was.
That's 2007, right?
If it wasn't Jamal Charles, then it was Priest Holmes and Ricky Williams. Like, those are two names you know.
Man, that's
but
crazy.
Here's where it gets tough, though. So then you're at Memorial Stadium down in Kansas.
Oh, God.
76-39 was the score
there.
Of that game.
I was in the stadium.
We gave
up
76 points to Kansas football. Then Nebraska turns around and beats K-State 73-31. Was that the game that Snyder went out and confronted Bo Pelini at midfield?
Might have been.
Because Snyder and Bo hated each
other.
They
hated each other.
Really?
Yeah, there
they
was a beef there. And then the last game of the season, Colorado 65, Nebraska 51. That was...
Wow.
Good old Cosgrove, man. Sean Watson, offensive coordinator, baby.
So, look at those guys we had. So what season was more of a, you know, like 2 years ago or that whole sequence? What was worse? The end of Riley? Or that sequence?
Well, okay, so I'll tell you what's worse. You want to hear what's worse? I'll tell you what's worse. I'm going to give you the names of players actively during this season that will go on to play in the NFL, including first-round draft picks and all that stuff. Okay. Are you ready? These are players. This is you lost that bad with these guys, okay? And here's some defensive guys. What's up?
I'm going to give you, hold that thought. I'm going to give you the Jamal Charles. I found the lines.
It's that game, right?
Yes.
That was the Jamal Charles game.
All right, so fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter. What's the score of the game? At the time, Nebraska's winning.
17-9 after three.
After three, 17-9, Nebraska is they're holding Texas to no points hardly at all.
We're definitely the underdog
and
in this game.
Yeah, yeah, they were number 16. We're at Texas. You know how much we hate Texas, right?
Yeah, yeah.
At Texas, 17-9.
Kind of rolling. We were like 17. We're up 17-3. They got a couple field goals. Uh-huh. And then it goes 12-23 mark, Jamal Charles, 25 yards. 733 mark, Jamal Charles, 86 yards.
Oh, my God.
334 mark, Jamal Charles, 40 yards. And then they're up 28-17. Then we scored late with a minute 55 to go. Joe Gans.
Yeah.
Two.
So Joe Gans, was the Joe. Okay.
So that's what happened. Charles ripped off.
Because that was when Gans came
three
in at the end of the year.
126 and 20, like 150-ish, 160.
Listen to the players and draft picks that were on this team that we lost all these games with. Prince Amukamara, first-round draft pick. Larry Asante, fourth-round draft pick. Zach Bowman, who played in Chicago forever, fifth-round draft pick. You had Jared Crick, fourth-round pick. Phil Dillard, fourth-round pick. Cody Glenn, fifth-round pick. God, I couldn't believe that was back when we could just play a guy at linebacker. They draft you no matter what. Courtney Grigsby was awesome. Eric Hague, seventh-round pick. Roy Helu Jr., fourth-round pick. Alex Henry, fourth-round pick. Ricky Henry, first-round draft pick of the Hartford Colonels in the the Canada League. We had, who else was on this thing? Marlon Lucky was a free agent.
But Lucky
Lydon
was the
Murtha
high,
I mean, was on there. All these players, Niles Paul was on that team. They had such a talented team, and they couldn't. Ndamukong Suh was on that team.
That is wild.
Nate Swift, Barry Turner. God, these are some names. Matt Slauson, Bo Rude. Mo Purify, baby. Good players. Todd Peterson. All right, let's take a break.
Yeah,
that was good stuff.
That was fun. That's got a little.
That's so annoying. But I'm telling you, man, the way that season ended was brutal. But it was like, I don't know. You got to remember too, we hadn't been through any of that stuff.
Thanks for educating me.
It was crazy stuff. Hard to live through as you're watching the wrecks happening before you.
There was a lot of junk going on.
Oof.
Yeah, Pelini wasn't been there. It was on who was Pelini the?
Pelini and Snyder got into it, but it was later on.
Yeah,
past that, there was an exchange.
Oh, that's right.
At home
was there during
at
the.
Home. He was there with Solich.
Solich.
He was there with Solich,
right.
And when Solich got let go, he coached
God, I've
the
tried
Alabama.
To, I've
remember?
Tried to forget all that stuff, and now I'm bringing it back up. But it's an interesting time. Like it's the craziest stuff, man. It was so crazy. We had so many good players.
This is
so
a point
many
in time
good
of your
players
life
on those teams.
It's a point in time in your life when you have like the juvenile record. You wanted to sponge from the record, like this is that era. You wanted to just go away, like, and be gone.
That defense that Bo Pelini inherited, that Cosgrove could not do anything
was
with,
silly.
It was full of first-round draft picks.
Full of them.
First, second, and third-round picks. It's insane to look back at the guys that spent time in the league and the NFL. It's as annoying, to be honest with you, it's as annoying as right now looking in the NFL and realizing there's four starting linemen in the NFL that have earned second contracts and start on NFL teams that were all on the same offensive line under Bo Pelini, and none of them got drafted but one.